Let's pray together. Almighty God, you are an awesome God. And Lord, your word is faithful. And your word is true. And Lord, speak through me this morning to where our hearts will be touched. And may we have the courage and the humility to hear your word and to react well to it and to be drawn to you. And in the name of Jesus, we pray and we all say together, amen. Eugene Peterson, in his book, Eat This Book, says this phrase, God speaks, and when God speaks, things happen. I love that phrase, don't you? That is a bumper sticker waiting to happen, don't you think? God speaks. When God speaks, things happen. And consistently throughout Scripture, we find that statement to be true. It starts in the creation story, Genesis chapter 1. We see God speaking. Let there be light. Let there be a sky. Let dry land appear. Let vegetation be upon this dry land. Let there be lights in the sky. Let there be birds in the sky and fish in the sea. Let there be animals that crawl upon the ground. Let us make man in our own image. God speaks over and over and over again. And every time God speaks, things happen. The world is created. And from the very beginning of the Bible, we learn that there is power in the Word of God. We use words in a lot of different ways today. Take this phrase on the screen here. It's cold in here. Think about the different ways you can use that phrase. You can use it as a description of the temperature within a particular room. It's cold in here. You can use it as a description for certain personalities in a room. It's cold in here. But sometimes we can actually use this phrase not just to describe a situation, but indirectly to try to cause something to happen. Imagine a wife who's already got a sweater wrapped over her, already got gloves on, and she leans over to her husband and she says, "It's cold in here." Now, what is she trying to say in that? I think she's trying to tell her husband, you need to do something about the temperature. That her words are not simply describing the situation, but they are trying to bring about an action. They're trying to cause something to happen. Now, in communication studies, this is referred to as speech act theory. The idea that we use our words not just simply to describe or just to inform, but actually we are using our words to try to bring about an action. And this is broken down into three parts, and you might have forgotten from speech class these three parts, but locution, illocution, and perlocution. Locution is just simply the words that are said. It's cold in here. Illocution is those words with an intention. It's cold in here. Perlocution is the effect that those words have upon the hearer. That's the husband who hears those words. He has an effect that he is just felt because of the words he's heard, and he's got to do something about that. And there's one biblical scholar who I've read named Kevin Van Hooser, and he argues that this idea of speech act theory might be a good way to understand God. That when God speaks, he doesn't simply speak to inform. He speaks to transform. That when God speaks, he's not simply describing reality, he speaks to create reality. That when God speaks, he's not simply just telling us something so that we can know of it, but instead, he has an intention, he has a purpose that he wants to accomplish. And it has an impact on us as a hearer, and we're forced to respond. Isaiah chapter 55 is, I believe, a chapter that was written to exiles. That Isaiah, as he wrote these words in his mind, he was knowing that there would come a time where the people of Israel would be taken out of their land and would live in the land of Babylon. But it would be a very hard time for them. because they would lose their land, they would lose their temple, they would lose their king. And because of that, they would find themselves in the midst of despair and loss. They would ask some critical questions of identity. Who are we? Does God still love us? Does God still care about us? We've lost our king. We've lost our temple. We've lost our land. And now we're in this strange land with this strange king and a strange religion. Is God ever going to bring us back home? Is God ever going to forgive us? They knew that the reason why they were in exile was because of their disobedience. And so will God ever forgive us? Will God ever give us another chance? These were the questions wrestling in the Israelites' minds as they were in exile. And in chapter 54 and chapter 55 of Isaiah, God speaks through the prophet, and he gives them hope. He says things to them like, "For a brief moment I forsook you, but in compassion I will gather you." He says to them in the beginning of chapter 55 that I'm going to renew the covenant with you, that I'm going to establish you as a nation, and you, your gates are going to be made of crystal and your walls of precious stones. And you're going to be a witness to the rest of the world, and nations you don't even know are going to run to you and want to know of God. He tells them, as Rick read verses 12 and 13, you're going to go forth from exile and you're going to have joy and there's going to be peace. And it's going to be a wonderful day and there's going to be renewal and restoration. And I can just imagine the people of Israel, they're living in Babylon, they read these words or hear these words, and they think, yeah, right. Yeah, right, we're going to go back home. Because if you haven't noticed, the number one superpower in the world is Babylon. And we don't have enough horses and enough chariots and enough military technology to fight and to get back home. This is never going to happen. God is never going to forgive us. God's never going to renew us. God's never going to restore us. And so Isaiah, in this passage, he tries to give them two reasons why they should trust in God's word, why they should believe in what he said. First of all, he tells them, God's thoughts are above your thoughts. And sometimes we just don't understand what God is doing or what God is saying or what God is thinking. But just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But God is above us. And even though we can't always comprehend his wisdom, don't count out his plan. Sometimes we need to hear that too. Don't count out his plan, because God will bring about his word. But then secondly, he gives them another reason. He uses a metaphor of precipitation. Rain and snow. He says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven to earth, to water the earth. Now, it's interesting that he uses that metaphor, because in Israel, they didn't get a lot of precipitation. They didn't get a lot of rain, didn't get a lot of snow, kind of like here in Texas. And in an agricultural economy, you were dependent on precipitation. You needed that for your livelihood. It was critical. It was essential. And whenever the rain came, you celebrated and you gave thanks, because you knew what was going to happen. That because of that rain, it was going to water the earth and the crops were going to grow. And through that, you're going to have food, you're going to have bread. And through that, you're going to have seed and you're going to be able to reproduce the crops. Rain was very important, and it was very important because of what it would accomplish and what it would do. And Isaiah reminds him of that. He says, just like the rain and the snow comes down from heaven to earth to water the earth and to accomplish that, that's the way God's word is. It goes forth, and whatever its intention is, whatever its desire, it's going to accomplish it. His purposes are perfect, and they will be done. You can count on it. His words are not empty. His words do not come back void. When he speaks, things happen, and don't worry. Because if God said, let there be light, there was light. So if God says, let there be a renewed covenant, there's going to be a renewed covenant. Well, a couple weeks ago when I was up in Minneapolis, I stayed with a family up there, and they were very hospitable to me and welcomed me into their home. And this family was very interested in politics. And it just so happened that week there were two Republican debates. And so guess what I watched? Both debates. And I heard a lot of words. I heard a lot of words. And over the political season, we're going to hear a lot of words from different candidates. Promises that there's no way they can keep. Accusations that may or may not be true. Suggestions that may or may not work. A lot of words. And what Isaiah is saying here is that's not the way it is with God. His words aren't empty. His words never miss. His words are never futile. When God says something, He means it. When God gives a promise, it's going to happen. When God offers a blessing, go ahead and count on it because it's going to come. When God issues a threat, you better listen to it and take it seriously because God's word is faithful. God's word is sure and true, and if He has spoken it, get ready. Things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. And because of that, Isaiah says, you need to make a choice. You see, hope is based on trust. Trust requires faithfulness. And faithfulness demands a choice. Isaiah was trying to give those exiles hope. He was trying to say, even though you feel that you're in the midst of despair, there is hope coming because God's going to bring restoration. But in order for those people to have that trust or to have that hope, they had to trust in the words of God. And so Isaiah tells them, you can trust in God's word because His words are faithful. They are true. And because they're faithful, Isaiah says, you've got to make a choice. You've got to decide who you're going to live for and who you're going to follow and how you're going to react to God's words. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 55. The prophet says in verses 6 and 7, he says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. He's saying, you need to make a choice. Are you going to come back to the Lord? Or are you going to stay in the way of the wicked? God's spoken, and His word is faithful. And so you must choose. It's the same situation that that husband has. Remember I was talking about that perlocution, the effect that illocution has on the hearer. That when that wife who's covered up with the sweater and's got the gloves on leans over to her husband and says, it's cold in here, that husband has to make a choice, right? Now, he can ignore what she said, but that's still a reaction. He can try to debate her. It's not really that cold in here. He can give her a suggestion. Just get another blanket, honey. Or he can actually try to solve the problem. He can get up, go to the thermostat, and try to turn it down. Now, in my experience, that would be the best option that you should choose. But he has to make a choice. When words are spoken with illocution, there has to be a perlocution. When words come with force and with intention and in purpose, that means the hearer has to decide how they're going to react to that. And that's what Isaiah was trying to tell the people. God has spoken. He has said He is going to restore you. And when God speaks, there is an intention. He intends to transform. He intends to create reality. He intends to bring about His purposes in a perfect way. And so because He has spoken with intention, you've got to make a choice, Israel. You've got to decide how you're going to react to the words of God. Are you going to seek Him? Or are you not? Are you going to return to Him? Are you going to continue in the way of the wicked? How are you going to react to God's faithful and powerful word? And I think that's an important question. I think it's an important question for us here at Southside. Because this year we want to be shaped by Scripture. We want to be listening to God. And when God speaks to us, how are we going to react? When we open up our Bibles for daily Bible reading, as I know many of you are doing, and you read God's words and you hear Him speak to your heart, how are you going to react? You got to react. Because God has spoken with intention. How are you going to react? When you sit here on Sunday mornings and you hear God's word proclaimed, and it comes into your heart and it pricks your heart, how are you going to react? You have to react some way. So how are you going to do that? I mentioned earlier about our local missions fair and the displays that are scattered around the auditorium. And after worship, you're going to be able to walk around and see some of these displays and see if there might be a place where you can serve here at Southside. And there's some great ministries going on. Our Hope Ministry, Frogs Ministry, working with Daggett Middle School. There's a tutoring ministry that's been started. I mean, there's just a lot of good things going on. And as you walk around and as you look at these different displays, I'm pretty sure that God's going to speak to you. He's going to tug at your heart and say, this is an area where you could serve. This is where you could be a missionary. How are you going to react? Just going to ignore it, go get a donut? Or are you going to hear God's word, His pure, perfect, faithful word? Over and over again this year, we're going to hear God speaking to us. Just as the rain comes from heaven to earth to water the earth, God is going to speak and things are going to happen. But how are we going to react to it? And I have to tell you, I'm kind of scared of this question. Because frankly, there are some things that God says that I really don't want to hear. How about you? I don't like it when Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I don't like that. But Jesus said it. And so how am I going to react to it? There are some things that God says that just are hard to believe. I mean, Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I don't like that statement. I don't always understand that statement. It's hard for me to believe that statement at times. That's the way the exiles were in Isaiah 58. God speaks this great message of restoration. They're like, it's just hard for me to believe that. And sometimes that's the way we are. We hear God's messages. We hear His promises. It's just hard for me to believe that that's really true. And how are we going to react? How are we going to react? As I began study for this year, on my preaching for this year, one of the first things I did was I took the phrase Word of God or Word of the Lord and I searched on Bible Gateway just to see how it showed up in Scripture. It's a pretty interesting search. You ought to do it. And as I was looking through all the passages that use that phrase Word of God or Word of the Lord, I noticed something. That often attached to that phrase, there are different verbs, different ways in which the people of God respond or react to God's word. And there was many of them. Numerous different kinds of words and verbs. Some positive, some very negative. Words like ignore, reject, defy, honor, receive, accept, fear. And I realized as I was looking at those passages that if we're going to be a church shaped by Scripture, we need to spend time thinking through this question. How are we going to react to God's word? Because God's going to speak, and His words are going to be faithful. And they're going to be true. And they're going to have intention and power. And so how are we going to react when they come into our heart and they speak to us? Are we going to react positively or negatively? So over the next 2 months, that's what we're going to study. We're going to look at the different reactions that God's people in Scripture gave God's word. And we're going to try to analyze that and see how do we do today in reacting to God's word. A couple weeks ago, I read a book called Leading the Congregation by Norman Shawchuk and Roger Huser. And there was a really great quote in there that I think speaks to what I'm talking about. They say this, they say, perhaps no one can give oneself completely to God in one grand moment. We give ourselves to God little by little. As we come to discover our deepest longings and temptations, we may be always thoroughly committed, but only to the extent that we know ourselves at that moment. All along the way, through our successes and our failures, our victories and defeats, our saintliness and sinfulness, our acceptance and resistance, God is at work to make us what we are. Here's what I hear them saying. Is that if we're going to react well to God's word, it doesn't just start with one decision. Certainly, that's where it begins when we decide that we want to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ. We are deciding, I'm going to hear God's word, I'm going to receive God's word, and I'm going to obey God's word. But it doesn't stop there. Little by little, day by day, week by week, as we hear God's word spoken to us through Scripture, through preaching, through friends, through other things that happen in our life, as we hear God speaking into our life, we are faced with a choice. Am I going to respond to God's word, or am I going to reject it? Am I going to accept it, or am I not going to believe it? And it's in those moments, those little moments, in which God grows us, or we resist God's growth or God's transformation upon our life. It's in those moments that God changes us. It's in those moments that God forms us into what He wants us to be. And I have a feeling that for some of us this morning is one of those moments. That maybe through the words, through communion, through my message, God has spoken to you this morning. Maybe showed you of some area, sinfulness in your life that you need to turn over to God. Maybe shown you some area of weakness that you have. And He's convicted you. He's tugged at your heart. How are you going to react? How are you going to react? We're going to have shepherds surround this building, and if you've felt convicted this morning about God's word into your life, I encourage you to walk to one of those men. Just say, pray for me. Help me to respond to God and His word. Help me to seek Him. Maybe you're ready to make that first step of obedience, of repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ. We'd love to welcome you into the family of God. And as we sing this song, just come to the front. If there's any way we can help you to respond to God's word, please come. You've got to be standing and sing.